Hey, good morning. I'm so glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here this morning? Thank you for coming out to Christ Church. Every one of you, we're honored that you're here today. And whether you call Christ Church home or not, or maybe you haven't been in church in a long time, I want to say welcome, welcome here. And even if this isn't your home church, or maybe if you've been out of church for a very long time and you just hadn't felt comfortable to go back to church, let me just tell you, there's a God who loves you, and there's a church here who loves you. And I just want to say, welcome home. You're among family here today. Yeah, welcome home. And so today I'm going to take a few moments, and we're going to kind of jump to a passage in a few moments. But I want to just talk about the purpose behind Easter for a few moments. And I love Easter. This is one of my favorite holidays. And honestly, like, I love Christmas. Christmas is excellent, you know. Christmas is great, celebrating a birth. But the truth is, like, everybody's born. And pretty much everybody dies. But only one person rose from the dead. So that makes this the most important day of the year as far as I'm concerned. And so we love to celebrate this resurrection, but there are some great things about Easter, and there's some things that we need to know that Easter is really all about. Really, Easter is about Easter eggs, you know. No, not really. That's not about Easter eggs. But I love Easter eggs. Anybody here besides me love Easter eggs? The color in the, do they still color Easter eggs with like the vinegar dye? Is that still the deal? Like, I mean, everything's so newfangled anymore. And somebody was telling me that there's like this shrink wrap stuff that you can put on eggs. And I'm like, but then you got to take it off again. And like, so I want to get to the eggs faster, you know? And so, so we know it's really not about the Easter eggs. It's about marshmallow peeps, you know? I mean, that's really, yeah. No, it's not about marshmallow peeps unless they're pink. No, it's not about that. It's actually about chocolate bunnies. It's about chocolate bunnies. It's not about any of those things in that, you know, it's really about a God who loved you so much that he sent his son to come to this earth and gave his life for you. And today I'm going to talk to you for a few moments. And I just want you to know that it doesn't matter where you are in your life, what you've been walking through, like God loves you. And he wants to have an amazing relationship with you. I don't know if you're very much like this, but maybe you can relate to, at some point or another in life, there's someone that maybe you've been in love with, you had feelings for, or you, like, you saw them and like you really wanted to have a relationship with them so badly. And in wanting to have that relationship with them so badly, you just pursued them. And as you pursued them, they never reciprocated. Like they never got to that same place. They were nice and they were polite, but they never really embraced you like the way you wanted to be embraced. Maybe it was in high school and it was one of those people that you saw them in the hallway, or maybe it was in college and you saw them and you're like, man, I would love to have her. And you knew a little bit about them, enough about them that you knew that they would be somebody you'd want in your life. And your heart kind of opened up to them, and yet they kept you at arm's length. It happens in families sometimes. Maybe you're a parent and you've had children and you had hoped to have the kind of life with your children that in that life with your children, like you'd vacation together and they'd come home and visit, not move in, you know, but they'd come home and visit when they came back from college. And then they would spend time with you. And when they would spend time with you, that it would be just so good. Like you'd share stories and you'd remember what took place when they were kids and you'd laugh and just have those moments together. And yet now that they're adults, they just don't buy in. Like they're respectful and they're nice, and yet they keep you at distance. Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you're the child and you have longed to have a relationship with your mother or father. You've seen other people that had just one of those kind of relationships that was enviable, where they were best friends with their parents and you wish you had that. And it's not that there's something completely broken. It's just that, like, your parents are nice and they're courteous and kind, but there's something that just keeps them at distance, and it can get really awkward because you're frustrated about that. And but maybe even more, and this is really gets close to home when it's inside of a marriage. And at one point, you were so in love with each other. At one point, you spent all of your time together and you talked about stuff and you laughed about stuff and anticipated and dreamed for days. And then, like, life took place and something changed. And now you're still there and they're still there and you still do what you do and they do what they do and everybody does their chores and they're still in the household. But somehow, you know that, like, your heart's just not connected to them in the way that you would love to be connected to them. It's distant. It's at arm's length. It's just not where you would hope yourself to be in that. And the interesting thing about that is it's just the very same way in our relationship with God. Like, God, He wants to have a relationship with you that there are no barriers, where there's a place where He longs to be with you and know you, and that there would be no resistance between you and no resistance between Him. And yet somewhere in all of that, there's in our hearts, like, He pursues us and He gave His Son for us. Now think about that. He gave His Son for us. And when He gave His Son for us, like, He did that to pursue us and remove every barrier. And yet somehow with us, we still stiff arm God. Like, we still keep Him at a distance. And maybe you're one of those folks that, you know, like, you call yourself Christian and you're courteous and polite, and like, you'd never say something bad about God or something bad about the church. But yet, somewhere in all of that, even though He's pursued you with the life of His Son, you still keep Him at distance. In our lives, we have to understand that, like, God loves us so much that He removed every barrier for us to have relationship with Him. And in having removed that barrier, He invites us to come in. In fact, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to Revelation, the third chapter. And in Revelation, the third chapter, and it's an interesting passage, because it speaks to church people. And so today, if you're not normally from church, like, I want to say welcome, and I'm going to talk to you for a few moments about the relationship that God has with you. But there are a lot of people here today that once, like, you were really kind of involved and you were kind of with God, and then something changed. And like, God could force you to obey Him, like, but that's not what He wants. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to be involved in a relationship with Him. And He would love for you to get to the level of relationship that it's just people where you're completely open with God and He's open with you. And so in the Bible, we find that God Himself is pictured in the Bible as a father. He's pictured as a father who has a son who runs away from him and says, I don't want to be around you anymore. And he runs to a far distant land. And yet the whole time, the father is yearning to be with his son. He waits and waits patiently for that son to return. He's also, in the Bible, God is pictured as a shepherd, and the shepherd has a sheep that wanders off and almost refuses to stay near, and it breaks the heart of the shepherd. In the Bible, He's pictured as a father who loves. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're invited to call Him Heavenly Father. Did you know that in all the religions of the world, there's only one religion where we're invited to call God our Father? That we're invited into that kind of a relationship with God, where we would be Father and He would have relationship with us. So today, I'm going to talk to you for a few moments out of the book of Revelation. In book of Revelation, the third chapter, John is writing to a church. Now, Revelation's easy to find. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Revelation. It's at the end of the Bible. In fact, it's easy to get to these books because in Genesis is easy to find because it's in the beginning. It's all the way at the front of the book. Revelation is at the end of the book, so all you have to do is kind of go to the maps and go left, and you'll find Revelation. And so Revelation, John is writing, and he's writing to some churches, and he's writing to people who, like, they say, like, we know God, we love God, we're called Christians. We kind of come under that umbrella, but it's possible because he writes to a church in Laodicea and he says something to them, and the words that he writes reflect that it's possible for you to be religious, it's possible for you to be called a Christian, it's possible for you to be named under the umbrella of Christianity and yet keep God at an arm's length. And so in this passage, there are some things that he says because he wants us not to be at that place. Here's what he says in Revelation, the third chapter in the fifth verse. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were either one or the other. I know your deeds. Like, I know, like, you're good. Like, I know your heart. I know in your heart, like, you want to do the good stuff. You're good people. But yet there's something that's not right. Like, there's something just amiss in where we are with each other. And I wish it wasn't that way. And then he says in verse number 16, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. And honestly, that is way more graphic than I wish was in the Bible, you know? But it just goes to show us, like, God, he's not comfortable with us being in that place where we're at distance with him. He said, like, I know you live a good life, and you're in the church, but there's a place where I want you to get beyond just that. You're nice and you're respectful and you're courteous. I would love for you to get to the place where you know me. Here's what he says, verse number 17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. And so he's talking to people who, like life is good. Like, I'm doing well, my business is doing well, my family's doing well. Like, I'm getting all the stuff. Like, I'm getting the car, I'm getting the house, I'm getting the things that I need in my life. And like, I'm doing good. Like, and I have good works. And yet God's saying, like, that's not what I was looking for in my relationship with you. Here's what he says, but you do not realize that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind. And the reason why is because, like, you're without one of the most fundamental things that you need, one of the most fundamental components that you need in your life. And here's what he says. Listen to what he says next in verse number 20. Here I am, I stand at the door. Here I am, I stand at the door. Listen, I know you're busy. I know your life is busy, and I know things are going well for you. And maybe I know there's some places where life isn't so good for you and you're kind of preoccupied. But God is saying, here I am. Here I am. I don't want to just be something on your calendar, on your to-do list where we do a lot of other things and we have a lot of other things on our calendar and we just pencil in God like God's an afterthought, that he's just something that we do on top of everything else. He doesn't want to be something that you do. He wants to be someone that you are completely immersed and in love with. And so he stands at the door and he knocks. The interesting thing about this is if you've ever been a part of Christianity, if you've ever been a part of church, if you know this, that it's one of the things that sets Christianity apart. What makes Christianity different from everything else is that God has power. We know that, like, God power, he rose his son from the dead. He raised his son from the dead. And so honestly, like, he could make you obey him. He could make you fear him. But that's not what he wants. He wants you to love him. He wants you to know him. So he stands at the door and knocks. Throughout scripture, and let me just tell you, from Genesis, from the time our relationship was broken with God, to the end, to Revelation, it's the story of God pursuing people. Honestly, it's the story of God pursuing humanity, who, although he loved them with everything that he had, they held God at distance. See, what we do is like we make a church about obeying rules. And most people, what happens is that when we start to think about our relationship with God, what we start to think about is rules. We start to think about obedience. And so, like, if I do this, then somehow God loves me. If I'm better than everybody else, because we know, like, God's... We think that God's grading on a curve, and that if I'm just better than everybody else, if I do more than everybody else, if I behave in such a way, then God will love me more. And let me just tell you, God's love isn't based on how much better you are than anybody else. Because honestly, like, that's such an insecure curve. I mean, it's based on that he loves you completely. And then what we try to do is we try to turn it into, like, if I obey the rules, if I do certain things, if I act in a certain fashion, then he'll love me. But it's not about getting a checklist of what I'm supposed to do, because all that is, are you ready, is religion. It's religion. And it leaves you empty. It leaves you hungering for something else. And many people have left church because they've done the religion thing. But he doesn't want you to be religious. He wants you to be in love with him. Here's like the difference in like a marriage. Being in love with somebody and just keeping a checklist. It would be like, okay, I know in order for me to have a good marriage, then I need to... What would be good? Wake up in the morning and tell my spouse I love him first thing in the morning. Okay, give me a pencil. Let me write this down. Spouse, I love them. Okay, somewhere during the day, maybe stop and buy them a gift. You know, yeah, stop and get them a gift. Let me write this down and get them a gift. Okay, before I go home, then I'll stop and get a card. Give me a card, and I'll get them a card. And then I'll walk in the door, and I'll make sure that every day when I walk in the door, I'll walk in and tell them I love them, kiss them on the forehead. Okay, I got four things I'm going to do. So you get up in the morning, and you take your list. And you come downstairs, and there they are at the breakfast table. Okay, first thing on the list, tell them I love them. I love you. Check off. Okay. Go to work and buy them a gift. Let's see. Work. Okay. Yeah, they'll like that. Check it off. Okay. On the way home, get them a card. Check it off. Let's see. Walk in the door, give them the gifts, kiss them on the forehead, and tell them you love them. Hey, here's your gifts. Check. I love you. Check. Oh, hold on. Love you. That's religion. It's the difference of where the heart is. Is it good to do all of those things? Yes, but if it's just a checklist, then the truth is it leaves you empty. What God wants from you is... He wants you to be in love with him because he's in love with you. And today he stands at the door and says, listen, I could come in. Somebody said, like, if he's really God, he could huff and puff and blow the door down. Yes, he could do that because he has that kind of power. But honestly, he's not going to do that. You know what he wants to do? He's going to stand at the door and wait for you to invite him. He's waiting for you to open up your heart and say, listen, I want to have that kind of relationship. There's a story in the Bible that tells us about the disciples, that they were behind closed doors. And while they're behind closed doors, after the resurrection of the Lord, Mary sees Jesus at the tomb, and she runs back to the disciples in John the 20th chapter, and she tells them, like, I've seen the Lord. And you know what they did? They locked themselves in a room. Seriously. Like, they didn't expect Jesus to be risen from the dead. So they locked themselves for fear. Even though they heard he was resurrected, they locked themselves in a room. And Jesus, literally, the Bible says he appears to them. So we don't know how he got there, but he gets to them and tells them, listen, it's me. Remember all the things that I've told you. And Thomas wasn't there, and they tell Thomas about it later. And the Bible tells us a week later, he's at another place, and Thomas is with the disciples, and they've locked themselves in a room again. They're behind doors, and Jesus has to go into the room where they are, and they've locked themselves. I'm wondering, like, what doors are you behind? What have you locked yourself behind? Because maybe you're afraid of having a relationship with God. Maybe you're afraid that maybe if you, like, decide that you're going to be in love with God and really serve him and not just be religious, that I don't know. Maybe you're afraid that he'll take everything away from you. Like, he'll do something bad to you. Here's the interesting thing about that is God doesn't want to do anything bad to you. In fact, he actually came to take the bad away. Like, he's not wanting to punish you. His son took the weight of all of your punishment. That's how much he loves you. So he doesn't want to lay that on you. He wants to come in the door if you'll just open the door and have a relationship with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There are three things that kind of indicate that we can have a great relationship with God. And it's not just a relationship with God, but it's a relationship with each other. The first thing that happens in order for us to have a great relationship with someone is that you have to give them time. You have to spend some time with them. Like, you really can't be really, truly involved with somebody close unless you spend some time with them. And he actually wants to spend time with you. Maybe when you were younger and you went to church when you were younger, maybe you've only heard about people like this and you've never been to church before and you're here today. But there are people that, like, spend time with God. They spend time with him in worship and in quietness. And it's not just in church on Sunday, but in their own life, they just spend time alone with him. That's one of the things about a great market and a great relationship. The second thing about a great relationship is there has to be some transparency. There has to be transparency where you are completely honest and open with them. Like, there's not two shades of you, because there's not two shades of God. And so, like, you don't go in and pretend. Have you ever been around somebody that even though their life is filled with anger, like, they pretend that they're, I'm not angry, you know? And a lot of times when we pray, rather than going in and being transparent with God and say, God, I'm going to hurt somebody, you know, instead of us being honest, we go in and we're like, oh, thou great heavenly Father, great heavenly God. And we repeat some prayer that, honestly, it doesn't really bear our heart open to God. How about this one? Like, maybe you struggle with lust. And the problem with it is like, you pretend that it's not there, and you're afraid that if you really told God about it, like, are you ready? He already knows it's there. So you know what he wants you to do? Since he already knows, he wants you to be honest with him, because the only way you can have a real relationship with somebody is to be completely transparent with them. So it's spending time and it's being transparent. And the last thing is, and this will be a kind of an interesting thing, and it might scare you because of the odd statement that it is, but it's in a great relationship, there has to be mutual submission. Like, there has to be mutual submission. And here's what mutual submission means. It means that I'm going to put your deal above my deal. I'm going to put your needs above my needs. I'm going to put what you need and what you want and make it more important. It's going to be a greater priority than even what I need and what I want. So I'm going to make you the most important thing. And this is what Jesus did. He said, you don't even have to go first because that might be frightening. I'll go first. I'll be submitted first. I'll put your deal above my deal. And even if it makes me be publicly shamed, even if it costs me everything, I'm going to put you above me. And when he did that, he removed any barrier for you to be completely and unconditionally loved. And so today, all he asks you is, like, will you then, if you love him, just turn around and say, I love you, and like, whatever you want is what I want. He invites us to open the door of our heart. And so let me just talk to you for a few moments and say, man, I love Easter and I love the resurrection and I love that we're here. Aren't you thankful for the resurrection? But let me just say, God's plan for your life isn't for you just to show up at Christmas and Easter, and for those of you who are involved in church to have a big rule book about what makes you better than other people or worse than other people. What God wants from you the most is to spend time with you and be transparent with you and for you to be mutually submitted so you can have the relationship that you yearn for. And many of you have left church. You left church a long time ago because you tried religion and religion was angry and frustrating. And he said, I don't want you to be religious. I want you to be in a relationship with me. So will you open your heart? Because here I am. I'm standing at the door. Today, he's standing at the door and he's waiting for you just to open your heart. And then for you to live in such a place where your heart is open to him. In these next few moments, I'm going to challenge you to make a decision to open the door of your heart. And for some of you, it'll be the first time you've ever done this. For some of you, like you've never taken that step and taken that chance on God and through Jesus Christ entered in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he said, just this time, will you just do this because I love you and I've proven my love for you. And for some of you, it'll be the first time. For some of you, you've done this before and you've walked away and somebody invited you to come to church today. Maybe they offered to buy you lunch afterwards. And let me just say, if you bribe somebody to come to church today to buy them lunch, you better buy them a good lunch, you know. But you're here because somebody offered you to go to dinner or come. But let me just tell you, do you know what God was doing? Honestly, he was just kind of finding a way to get you to the place where he could say to you, will you just open the door? Will you just open the door of your heart and let me come in? And the Bible says, if I come in, I'll sit with you and I'll be with you and I'll reward your life. Your life will be full if you'll just let me in. And so today I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to ask you to take a step. I'm going to ask you to consider wherever you are, whoever you are here in this room today, at what level you are in your work with God and your walk with God. Will you just open your heart and say, Lord, if there's any place where I've stiff-armed you, if there's any place where I've been like I'm religious and I call myself a Christian or I'm at least nice about religion. But he wants more than that. He wants you. So will you say yes to him today? Because he stands at the door. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, that you took every chance on us. That you came to this earth to break down every barrier. And Lord, the love that you had for us, it's radical and in some places might even be reckless. But Lord, you loved us so much that you could not bear being separated from us. So you spared no expense to come to where we are. And so thank you for the life of Jesus Christ, for a Savior who knew us in advance before we took our first breath, before we had our first day, before we made our first sin, before we made our first bad decision or before we ever became religious, you knew all that about us and you loved us. And so today, Lord, you said if anyone hears your voice, would they open the door and let you come in? So Lord, today we open the door of our heart and say yes to you. We invite you in. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you've not received Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do that now. Just say yes to him. You can do that through one simple prayer. Open the door. Will you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he came to this earth, lived a sinless life. He died on a cross and rose again, and he proved that he is the Lord of life. But he also proved that he would stop at nothing to find me. So I open up my heart. I receive you, Jesus. Come in as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you, but just so I could pray for you in the days ahead, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that and needed to pray that prayer, could I see your hand right now? Let me just see your hand now. Yes, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person that's raised their hand and every person that said yes to you and opened their heart. And now, Lord, we ask you that you'll seal this work by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you just raised your hand, let me just tell you, if you just raised your hand, like, he's been waiting for that. And we want to help you get started on this journey and follow him and live this life with the door open to God. And so, if you just raised your hand, or if you'd like to help get help on your journey with God, there's a card in every seat that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. And so will you fill that card out? And before you leave here today, go to the Starting Point Guest Center and drop it off, or come down and offer it to me, and we're going to help you get started on your journey with God. Amen. Will you let these folks know they've made the best decision of their life? Come on, will you stand together? We're going to sing one last song.